Welcome to Truth and Healing Podcast. It's your girl, Gifty. Hey, I'm so thankful to God that you're here with me today listening to me. I thank God for releasing His breath back into you and giving you another day to see life, experience life, effect a change in your circumstances. I thank God for you. I thank God that you can see to touch your phone and to tune into this podcast, and He has given you also the listening ear to hear me and the receiving heart to receive what you're hearing. I believe what you see will cause a change in your life, positively or negatively, and what you hear will also cause a change in your life, positively and negatively. But I know this change by listening to me will be positive to the glory of God and to your blessing. God bless you. Today, we're going to talk about taking control of your life, the power of your attitude towards you, getting the change and seeing your way forward, your attitude, how your attitude factors in to the change that you so desire. The nature of a tree determines the fruit it bears. Your nature is what makes way for your future. It takes more than strength, grace, or skill to scale through in life. Cultivate the right attitude. Cultivate the right attitude. The nature of a tree determines the fruit it bears. Your nature is what makes way for your future. It takes more than strength, grace, or skill to scale through in life. So cultivate your future. Today we're going to talk about your attitude. Your attitude. Your attitude in changing your circumstances. Nothing devalues skills and commitment like wrong attitude. For instance, some people are good in their jobs. They are so proud that they are sidelined when a choice for promotion has been made. The greatest men in the Bible were not made by strength or might, but by their attitude. Abraham was made by his attitude of obedience. Moses was not made a leader because of his strength, because he was a prince in Egypt. He was Pharaoh's daughter's son. No. But because of his meekness, humility. Humility is what made Moses great. David's courage, his courageous attitude gave him victory over Goliath. In spite of his stature, he was a smelly shepherd boy. What did he really have? He was courageous in his attitude that gave him victory over Goliath. Smelly shepherd boy? His courageous attitude gave him victory. The exalted throne of Christ was built by right attitude. Obedience led Jesus to the cross, which in turn led him to the throne. Power did not make him. Attitude did. This means you can be anointed and still die a failure. The nature of a tree determines the fruit it bears. A mango tree cannot bear orange fruits. Your nature is what makes way for your future. Every great altitude stems out of the right attitude. Therefore, every negative nature will lead to a negative future. It takes more than strength or skill to scale through in life. So you must cultivate the right attitude. It is very crucial. You must cultivate the right attitude. There are four aspects of human life, and we need to cultivate the right attitude. If you must be productive and fulfill your destiny. Fulfill that purpose that you so greatly yearn and desire to have. And these four aspects are attitude to life, attitude to God, attitude to work, and attitude to money. Your attitude to God. The way you see God, the way you treat God, the way you carry yourself. Think life is an entitlement. No, it is not. Your attitude to life. You don't care about anything but yourself. No, that's a bad attitude. So what you say on the highway, what you want on the highway. No, you can't carry on like that. Attitude to work. You go in, you laugh with everybody. You're getting paid full, but you're giving what? Half a loaf of your time and your effort and skills. Your attitude to money. You're wasteful. Your attitude to money. That is not good. An understanding of these four will give anyone a great adventure in life. So let's talk about your attitude to life. To make a difference in your world, you must realize that life is a gift, not a grief. Life is a gift, not a grief. I started with thanking God that He gave you life. You can see, you can touch your phone or your laptop or your tablet, and you're listening to me today. It is a gift that you're listening to me today. And I value that. And I thank God for you for that. It's a gift, not a grief. It is a privilege and not a right. Because, guess what? The one who died yesterday. And you live today. It's a privilege, not a right. After all, what role did you play in coming into this world? You played no role whatsoever in your existence. Played no role whatsoever in your existence. If you don't embrace the gift of life, you stand to be disgraced. Every murmuring against God paves way for destruction. Whining, complaining, pointing finger at God. Everything that has gone wrong in your life, open the way to a kind of worms you don't even want in your life. God made you, so you must maintain an attitude of gratitude to your maker for the privilege of assistance. He woke you up this morning. You have to thank Him. It's a privilege, not a right. So He does not withdraw the breath He gave you. That is why the psalmist David said, "Everything that has breath, praise the Lord." Psalm 150. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Apart from appreciating God for your life, an understanding of what life means will help you make your life count. What is life? What is really life? Life can be defined as the art of living. A-R-T, art of living. It is evidence, and its evidence is in contributions. In basic sense, only plants and animals are classified as living things, and their lives are evidence in their contributions. Plants generate the oxygen which animals and we as humans take in. Animals in turn generate the carbon dioxide, which plants utilize for their food. So, when a plant stops generating oxygen for animals and you and I alike to consume, it means the plant is dead. Similarly, when an animal stops generating carbon dioxide for the plant to consume, the animal is dead. When you stop making contribution to your world, you are no longer living. You are merely existing. Stones exist that have no life because they do not make any contribution of their own. Life is about contribution. Life is about contributing and making a contribution, not consumption. It is about relevance and not significance. Life is about relevance, not significance. Life is not about getting what you're getting from people. It is about what you're giving out to people, reaching out to them. Life is about service, not status. It is about sacrifice, not surplus. It is about giving, not just receiving. It is your giving that provokes your receiving. So if you don't give, don't expect to receive. If you don't give, don't expect to receive. It's a principle of life. You don't give, you're always tight-fisted, but you want somebody to bless you. How? Why? It's not your right. So if anybody blesses you, it's a privilege, not your right. So you have to learn to be grateful. God is out to bless us. Jehovah is out to bless us. But we are blessed primarily to be a blessing to our world. Can you imagine yourself eating and drinking for weeks? Never visiting the toilet for weeks. Just picture that. The food is soon converted to poison. Likewise, when you are not being a blessing to the world, life soon becomes miserable. Life becomes miserable. Life is about responsibility. The right attitude to life is the responsibility that we owe to our destiny. The right attitude to life is a responsibility that we owe our destiny. Attitude is key in you getting to your destination. Our attitude to God, the most crucial of it all. Many people, even faithful servant Christians, have a lopsided view of who God is. And this eventually crushes their destiny. Seriously. It eventually crushes your destiny because they don't know who he is. You can't treat God anyhow and expect him to bless you. The pastor, that is the man of God, the spiritual father, or the spiritual leader over your life. You sit at home, gossip badly about them, and then you go to church on Sundays or Friday or whenever you go to church. Oh, I need help. Let him pray for me. You're bringing curses upon yourself. God is a loving Father, not a collector. And he proves his love by meeting our needs. He gave you breath. You woke up this morning. You owe him a thank you. He didn't ask you to pay. Because if he were to put meters around every breath that we take, I don't think we would ever have enough money to pay him. Don't ever think you are giving help to God, because he will never need your help. He doesn't. Jehovah, as we know him, is not a user of mankind. He is the molder of a man's destiny. He is a molder of your destiny and my destiny. He is not a deceiver. He cannot lie. His name is called Faithful. And you want to experience that faithfulness, walk right before him. Jehovah is our only dependable rescue. He will not turn his back on you. He will not leave you defenseless. He will never leave you destitute. He is faithful. And that's somebody he can rely on. Not your mother, not your father, nor your siblings, nor your best friends, nor your boyfriend, nor your husband, nor your wife, nor your pastor, anyone. And at 1 through 11, you can depend on him. He's too big to require human support. So when you assume a supporter's attitude, I go to church, I'm putting in my bit, so I'm doing God a favor. No, you're not. I'm helping that person, so I'm doing God a favor. No, you're not. You respect the pastor, so I'm doing God a favor. No, you're not. You are not. He is too big to require human support. So when you assume supporter's attitude, he may turn his back on you. You need to appreciate that the totality of your existence is a product of his grace. His grace. God is not the source of your problems. He is your only dependable solution. Nobody ever contended with God and won, so don't try it when you're pointing fingers at him for your problems. Really? Did he tell you to marry that woman? Did he tell you to marry that man? Did he tell you to go to that school? Did he tell you to go borrow that money? And you can pay. What did he tell you to do? That you're blaming him for your problems. We make decisions on our own. And when the stuff hit the fan, where is God in all of this? I'm a Christian, I pay my tithe. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I pray, I love God, I love everybody. Why is this happening to me? God is not a source of your problems. With the right attitude towards him, you easily get him committed to your cause. And if God be for you, nobody and nobody, the visible and the invisible, the seen and the unseen, no one can be against you. Remember, divine presence is your greatest asset in this race of life. His divine presence is your greatest asset too. This race of life. So your attitude should be in check, especially when it comes to you dealing with God. Truly, keep it in check. If you have no fear of God, girl, I pity you. I pity you. So let's continue. Attitude to work. Work is not a curse. It existed before the curse. It is a channel of blessing designed by God for our destiny. Behind every move, there is a mover. Behind every event in history, there is a human face. Nothing happens until you make it happen. Your attitude to work will determine your ultimate worth in life. When work becomes your hobby, you soon become a high flyer. In most cases, a negative attitude to work is what has been the undoing of most of us. Monday morning, everybody is grumpy. Oh my God, I have to drive to that place again. Fridays, when you get paid, you're happy. As if tomorrow will never come. We have a slavery mentality to work. Slaves wait to be forced to work or be supervised to perform. You must realize that any skill you acquire on your job is an investment into your future. So, if your attitude is that of just working for someone else, it is a negative attitude. Change. Change. It is negative and it will not enhance your worth. You must work to learn, and not just work to earn. Working to learn makes a leader, whereas working to earn makes a slave. Working to learn makes a leader, whereas working to learn makes a slave. So change your attitude towards the work you're doing now. Be thankful to God from where you're standing. The job you're doing, thank Him for it. And tell Him, God, I want to change. I know you created me to do greater works. So whatever I'm doing here, I thank you for it. I thank you for the next step that you're taking me to. Because you have to grow in life. So there's always the next step from where you're standing. And ask God to guide you. Cheap money is a bait for destruction. There is dignity in labor. It is the Creator's design to enhance our worth in the journey of life. So, do the job that you're doing with passion, with joy, with love. Not whine and moan and just groan. That makes you a slave. Attitude to money. Your attitude to money is also key. Once again, I assert there is no magic about money. It is essentially medium of exchange for goods and services. So if you are not providing goods and services, you are not qualified to enjoy financial fortune. You need to work to make money. Money is only a blessing if you have it. It becomes a curse if it has you. Money in the hand is a blessing, but if it gets into the heart, it becomes a curse. Because the love of money opens all kinds of evil. It is a form of cancer to destiny. Money is placed in your hands to enhance your stewardship to your wealth, not just to enlarge your possessions like the biblical rich fool. If you don't have a working knowledge of financial blessing, it has the power to destroy you. Money is essential for doing good. Being rich in good works, not just for accumulation. There is no one thing you cannot overdo. It is called good. Doing good. So learn to do good. You are required to be a blessing to the world according to the level of your financial fortune. The bigger your capacity to bless, the greater the level to which you will be blessed. That means you are the one who determines the extent to which you are blessed. As you keep dreaming, genuine financial stewardship brings, Jehovah is committed to continually build you up. If you don't have the right perspective to money, you are likely going to end up a victim. Remember, money without adequate financial light is money soon gone. So get informed on its uses. People win the lottery and within a year, the money is gone. Because they have no good knowledge of what money can do and what money is. Faithfully employing the principle outlined in this episode and what we've talked about taking charge of your life. On the 7 channels of purpose, of information, of ideas, of preparation, of skill and commitment, and attitude. It's enough to secure a turnaround. Anyone, and indeed anyone in the world. Anyone in this world, and indeed the world around us. Your attitude to change. Your attitude towards God. Your attitude towards money. Purpose, information that you acquire. Change is possibility at any point in time. That's It all begins first with a desire, a choice, and a passion for change. Destiny is essential. Destiny is essentially a race of responsibilities. A change is not just a care. A change is effected. In my opinion, every positive change of position is a product of the application of relevant forces. So, for instance, for a book to change position from the floor to the top of the table, the following forces become relevant. Take note. First, a desire to have the book on the table. 1. 2. Bending force, that is, the book will not jump from the floor to the table. You have to bend down to pick it up. 3. Picking force, that is, grabbing the book from the floor with your hand. Action number 3. Action number 4. Lifting force, that is, taking the book and placing it exactly where you want it on the table. This is what this book is all about. The book you picked up is your life. It's on the floor. First, you have the desire to call what? To seek a change. 2, a bending force. That is, the book will not jump. Nobody can cause change for you except you. It starts from within. From the floor to the table, you have to bend to pick it up. 3, picking force. That is grabbing book from the floor with your hand. Your destiny is in your hand. And you're responsible for it. Lifting force number 4. That is taking up the book and placing it exactly where you want it on the table. It's you picking up your life and putting it exactly where you want it. What you want your life to be. Is what this whole series is about. To cause a change, to effect a change, it requires you to bend and pick up the book from the floor. To bend and pick up your life from the floor, wherever it is right now. You need it on the table. What are you doing? What are you doing? Get set. It's your time to positively impact your world because you have truly been empowered to effect the change. Change, change, pain, it's all yours. Do something. The book is on the floor. That is your life on the floor. Your destiny on the floor. You need to bend the bigger force behind us. Your bending, the strength to even bend, the energy to even bend, comes from your Creator, who will give you the energy to bend, that you don't take for granted. You get up in the morning and you can bend your knees to touch the ground. You owe Him a thank you. The ability to grab and hold that book, He puts strength in your hands to hold and grab that book. You owe Him a thank you. Pick it up from the floor and hold it without dropping it again and put it on the table. You owe Him a thank you. And that is that you made started from within, looking at that book on the floor and saying, it doesn't belong on the floor. It belongs on top of the table and I'm going to pick it up. Pick up your life. It doesn't belong on the floor. It belongs on top of the table. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. You woke up today. Yes, you can. So do it. Do it. Do it. I believe in you. And I know you can. Pick up the book from the floor. Pick up your life from the floor. And put it on the table. Everyone to see. but it requires you to make up your mind. Do I still want the book on the floor? Or do I want it? Do I want it on the table? It requires you to take the action. Because God is watching you. The energy for you to burn, He gives you that. To even feel your limbs and the motion in your hands to hold on to the book and not let it drop, He gives you that. He said, He can do it. I believe in you. Pick up the book from the floor. Is that common sense? Maybe, maybe not. Pull yourself out. Pick up the book from the floor. Pick up your life from the floor. I believe in you. You can do it. You're listening to me today. Is God give you a second chance? It is a new day and a new dawn, a new rebirth. Pick it up and do it. Put it on top of the table. It's your life. It's your life. It can do it for you. You have to pick it up and take charge of your life. I love you. Bless you. Pick it up. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Bless you. Have a wonderful day. See you and hear from you in the next episode. Good night.